morning, everybody. Welcome to Coffee with Casey, where we talk about market strategies and market conditions. Today, we're going to talk about the first quarter of 2024 market conditions on steroids, if you will. Amazing first quarter for some. I'm going to talk today about how prices got where they are. I mean, I was just talking in Centerville, prices were $700,000 in 2020 when the pandemic happened. Right now, they're $950,000. So we're going to talk about how they've grown in this past 2 years. We're going to compare those to inflation. We're going to answer the question, are our houses overpriced right now? And if they are overpriced, how much? So, but I want to start something. We lost somebody, a couple of weeks back. We lost Bernie Kagan. And I want to, we got Bernie on our mind. Then we got this NAR settlement of commissions. So somebody turned the lights on and said, let's talk about the commissions. And we think that the realtors are fixing too high. And I just want to go back to a story that I hope nobody forgets. And that is in 2001, Danny came to me. And Danny said, and I'd started a Coldwell Banker, so it was always 6%. There's nothing other than 6%. So Danny comes to me and he goes, I'm going to do 4.5%, and I'm going to do full service. I'm going to do so much work for them. I'm just really full service stuff. And, I'm going to get in the door by doing 4.5%, but I'm going to get their family and their friends and their business associates. I'm going to start expanding my business that way. I said, you're crazy. Don't put my name on that stuff. I'm going to give cash back to buy 4.5%. I said, all right, man, do what you got to do. I had other businesses I was doing. And so he got together with Bernie Kagan, and Bernie Kagan in his first year did $30 million. Rookie. He's a rookie. This is $2,001 dollars. This ain't $2 million sales. These are $450,000 sales in Franklin Farms and all that area. $30 million got my attention. It's like, oh shit, wait, what? You did what? So then he brings in a couple other agents. He brings in Carolyn Capalbo, $30 million her first year. He brings in Kim Spears, $30 million her first year. Did 3 years in a row. I'm like, wait, what? You did what? So on the third one, it was like, yeah, I think his model's working pretty good. I'll come help you build that. So after about 2 years of helping him, work with the agents, I said, you know what? The hell with this. I'm doing it myself. I'm going back to Vienna. I'm going to start. I'll get my license reactivated. I can make this model hum, right? So all of this commission stuff. And, it's a capitalist system. Some people charge 6. They validate why they charge 6. They validate why they charge 5. They have their own reasons. Some people validate why they do 4.5. Danny doesn't take any of our commissions. He makes it a little easier to do that. But that model worked for me, right? So, but Bernie Kagan started it, and he just unfortunately passed away. But it was, you can come up with as many ideas as you want, but it takes somebody to step up and make it happen and make it work. And that was Bernie Kagan. And I credit Danny and Bernie with really revolutionizing the way that the commission structures were happening out there. And in fact, Wes Foster told his brokers that if you have to compete with a Sampson Properties realtor, you can reduce your commission. Until that point, you could not. But he said, if you have to compete with a Sampson Properties agent, Danny single-handedly introduced lower commission rates on full-service listings. So people have a lot to thank. The consumers have a lot to thank for Danny. I will tell you, it was Bernie that finally went from 3% to 2.5% on selling commissions. And I said, I walked into Bernie's office one day. Of course, we were all giving away 3%. Walked into Bernie's office. I said, give me a great idea, Bernie. He goes, 2.5. I said, what do you mean 2.5? He said, 2.5. I'm doing 2.5%, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay. So when I started in Vienna doing 2.5, of course, they're going to burn you at a stake. But 5 years later, everybody was doing 2.5 because if our listings are going to sell, and they're going to sell fast, and they're going to sell for top dollar, then yes, that brings the prices down for the sellers, for the consumer. So Danny and Bernie had more to do with bringing some prices down for the consumers. And, you know, it didn't hurt us because we do twice the business. I mean, you know, you do 150 this year, our target is $200 million. 2 points on $2 million, $200 million is like $4 million, right? $4 million. I can run a company on $4 million, no problem. So anyways, I want to get that out of the way when they're talking about this commissions and all that. And again, people can charge 6%, that's fine. If they want to do, you know, lower volume, higher commissions, that's fine. And we all have our own reason for doing what we do. At Free Enterprise, that's what Capital System's all about. But credit where credit is due. Danny Sampson started that. Bernie Kagan, he proved it could work, and then others came behind him. So as we're moving forward, I want everybody not to lose sight in the history of real estate. That was the dynamic shift in 2001, and Danny started it, and Bernie finished it. So anyways, and now, of course, you know, you have agents out there that are doing this model and doing $150 or $200 million a year, and it works, and it keeps things down. So that's my 2 cents worth on the NAR, and I'm done. I'm done talking about it. Now, let's go to the market where we are right now. Okay. So what you're looking at in this chart, I go to a listing yesterday. Yesterday we had, let me see if I can get this up for you, Justin. Okay, I got it. So I go to a listing, and these are the Zillow estimates, the Realtor.com, HomeSnap, Redfin. So a couple of them say it's $1.9 million. And a couple of them say it's worth $1.65 million. Well, what is it? Is it 1.9 or is it 1.65? Somebody help me out here. So this is why we spend so much time working on what is the value of a house. Because if I get it right, it's going to sell. It's going to sell in the first weekend. We're going to bid it up. Our average home sells for $100,000 over what we sold it for. So the first thing I do when I talk to seller is, if an agent walks in here and says 1.9 because they got it off Zillow, there's another one at Realtor.com says 1.675. They could come in at the same time. And that's why being able to establish the value of real estate is the most critical part of our business, okay? So in doing this, we need to gather a lot of data. And the data I'm going to show you is things that are critical. And I used yesterday, we had four listing appointments. It was $7.5 million worth of listings. Five. So blacking out on the last one. But anyways, but this stuff I'm going to talk about right now is something that came in direct benefit of helping us secure $1.9 million listing. So let's go over where the market is, okay? And this is, knowledge is power, right? So what this screen shows is, you know, as I always say, two things drive the market, interest rates and inventory. If the inventory goes down, we have limited inventory, so prices are going to go up and everybody's going to fight for the house we have. So last year, inventory was down 40%. So how are we doing in the first quarter of 2024, right? So Vienna in the first quarter, you'll see this month, not a big jump, but in the 90-day period, the first quarter, in that second column, it's up 25%. Not the 40 that we lost, but at least we're back 25%. So that period, that 90-day period compared to a five-year average of the first quarter and all these years gone by, we're down 21%. So we're making huge gains to get back in the boat, but we still have a long way to go. So is inventory still down? Yes, inventory is still down. Then you start looking at, and I know some of you are listening to this on podcast and can't see the chart, but basically I have this for Vienna, Oakton, McLean, Centerville, all of them. And you can see down, you know, Vienna's down 21% over the five-year average, McLean down 34%, Centerville down 60% from their five-year average. So that's telling you nobody's moving. And what is that going to do? How do we use that power? Well, I have a listing in Centerville, and she's tired. You know, she's old. She wants to get to her new home. Somebody goes, hey, I'll give you $950,000. It's listed for $900. It's going active today at 5 o'clock. And then just take the offer. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think we got a little bit more on the way, man. I think you need to settle down a little bit. Calm down. Because I told her, when was the last time you made $10,000 a day over a 3 or 4 year period, a 3 or 4 day period of time? Because if you wait until Monday, we're going to touch $1 million. I'm telling you, we're going to get awful close to $1 million. Sure enough, that afternoon, in comes the 985. That's two contracts. We haven't even gone live yet. Two contracts, right? So, again, our protocol is we'll see you on Monday at 12 o'clock. See you on Monday at 12 o'clock. And if you want to leave, then go ahead and leave because I'm not worried. We got tons of people that are going to come see it. I'm just not worried about it. But you've got to have a protocol. If you're a listing agent, agents are banging you over the head. They're banging my agents over the head. Take this contract. Take this contract. Take this contract. If the protocol says we'll see you on Monday at noon, we'll see you on Monday at noon. I got nothing to talk about. Don't give an inch. Well, if you do, highest best offer Monday at noon. So, anyways, why do we act like that? Because I'm looking at a document that says the inventory is down 60% over the five-year average. So that seller has maximum leverage, right? And as we talked about in our meeting, if I got a house that nobody's interested in, it's big number, and one guy walks in and goes, hey, man, I'll give you 2.5 for this house. It's like, well, we'll take it. You know, we'll take it. So, but as listing agents, we need to know, do we have the power or do we not have the power? This says we have the power. Now, as I break that down by city, you can see this on the kcsampson.com under market snapshot. Julie puts these charts up so you can take a look at them. This is, let me see, let me go to the next one here. So this is by county, right? So Fairfax County's inventory is down 30%, Loudoun 32. So let's say we're all down 30% over the five-year average. So how's the inventory across the board? Not good, right? We're inching back. We're inching back, but not good, okay? But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something why I watch this like I'm in the crow's nest of the Titanic looking for icebergs. Because I've been hit by an iceberg before, right? We've been going along our merry way, and all of a sudden we looked down and we had 45 listings on the books that were active and 2 under contract. Over in another market, we had 60 active and 2 under contract. The iceberg is heavy inventory, and you didn't see it coming. So I watched this like a hawk. You see that 30-day? It's starting to rise, right? So I keep an eye on the inventory so I can advise our clients, look, inventory is way down. Let's just, you know, we're stronger than they are. Let's just hang on. So I need to know our leverage position for our sellers. That conversation will get you $7.5 million out of $7.5 million worth of opportunity. I compete on every one of these listings with other agents. But if you're looking at them and you can analyze the market and you can say the inventory is down and that gives us power, let's just hang on. Let's not get crazy, but we need to know that we're in control of the market. So this shows the success rate. Now, if you put 10 houses on the market, how many of them are currently under contract, right? This is the success rate. And I mean of the active contingent, which I don't count as contracts, active contingent and pending. And the reason I don't count active contingent, because they could kick out just like that, and they're still active, and you can still show it. So in Fairfax County, 48% of the homes that are listed are under contract, pending. That means 52% are not pending. Now, this is under $1 million, under $1 million. Now, on $2 million homes and $1.8 million homes, we're getting 6 and 8 contracts first weekend on our stuff. So what the hell is everything doing sitting on the market and not selling? In 2022, these were in the 90s. I'm telling you, these were in the 90s in 2022. So this is going to be even more shocking when I show you something in a minute, when I show you how the growth has happened over the years and how greedy people are getting. But let's just stick with this for a minute. And it's consistent across the board. Only half of the homes that are listed are under contract. Considering inventory is down 30%, that's a shocker to me. Now, let's go over $1 million. Let's see how that looks. So over $1 million, what I'm showing is a chart of the success rate or homes that are currently pending over $1 million in Fairfax County. Only 36%, one-third of the homes, two-thirds of the homes are actively sitting on the market. Two-thirds are not under contract. And that's consistent across the whole thing. Loudoun County, Prince William County, Arlington County. It's all consistent. 33% across the board, 35% across the board are under contract. Now, let's be clear. If less than 40% of the homes are under contract, it's a buyer's market. If less than 40% of the homes are under contract, that means 60% are not under contract, the buyers have control of that market. Okay. So is it a buyer's market over $1 million in all counties? The answer is yes. It is a buyer's market. So we have a saying, right? Sell when they yell, buy when they cry. So if 60% or 65% of the people aren't under contract, they're crying like little babies. That's when we buy. That's when we go in and find those houses that were overpriced, underprepared. If I'm working with a buyer, it's a field day, right? We don't want the buyers to have control. So the question is, why is 100% of the contracts that are 100% of the listing that we're putting on selling in the first weekend, when only 33% of the homes, 35% of the homes are going under contract in that county, right? So when I talk about the value of pricing and staging and marketing and all of that stuff, I'm telling you, there's a lot of money at stake. And if you do it wrong, it's not going to sell, it's just sit on the market. And that's the proof. 36% of the homes are under contract. Now, here's some charts that'll just freak you out, okay? So we start in Washington, D.C., and we work our way west, right? We work our way out to Aldi and Western Loudoun County and whatnot. So these are the numbers of, I'm sorry, Justin, let me click. This is a chart that I'm showing of a map of, and it starts in McLean and Tyson's, and it works its way all the way out to Aldi and Leesburg. And the numbers here is the appreciation from first quarter of 2023 to first quarter of 2024. So homes in McLean have appreciated this year 10%. That's the number. Homes in Vienna appreciated 11%. Now think about this. Interest rates are at 7. They're at 7, and we're up 11%. Do you see how the lack of inventory is affecting prices around here? They're still going up because there's a lack of inventory, right? So look out, and this tells me a couple things. It says, well, look at Oakton. Oakton went up 5%. Vienna went up 11%. Where's the deal? Oakton, right? Maybe Oakton's underpriced right now. Look at Reston at 9%. Look out here at look way out in Western Loudoun County. You have Leesburg is appreciated 14% this year. Aldi is 10% this year. And Western Loudoun is 6%. Where's the deal? Percyville, Roundhill, Hamilton, those are good values. So when I'm pricing something in that area, I'm saying, hey, we're really underpriced here. You know, we're underpriced. Centerville, Centerville went up 12%, but they're still, you're going to see them, still lower than they have been over a longer period of time. So this is going to freak you out. This is the appreciation that's happened on the properties, on these properties, since 2020. Homes have gone up in McLean 41%. And I'll show you the actual numbers here in a minute. Homes in Vienna have gone up 34%. 33 in Oakton. And I'm looking now at thank you, Justin, is that, we good? Okay. So now we're looking at a chart that is, if you take a house that it sold for, like Centerville at 707, and now it's 950, what's that appreciation rate over those 4 years, right? Now consider this. The inflation rate over that period is 24%. These homes have appreciated 34%, 41%, 33%. It's the average is about 33 to 34% across the board. Now, a little higher or lower in some of these markets. Look at Aldi. Aldi's up 58%. 58%. Are they a little overpriced? Could be. I mean, that's a big number. So when I look at this, I say, well, if the inflation's only gone up 24% and the housing values have gone up 34%, then what does that tell you? We're 10% higher than we should be. Now, let me ask you something. Is that valuable to a seller who's going, well, maybe I'll sell, maybe I won't? Well, let me just tell you this. I'm in the crow's nest. I'm looking for icebergs. If it hits, it goes down 10%. So when people say, well, what are homes really worth? They're worth 10% less than they currently are sitting at. That's okay. It's not like they're going to crash. It's still 10% higher than they should be. Why? Because there's lack of inventory. There's demand. People are coming in with a lot of cash. They need some place to live. I need some place for my kids. I got two kids and a dog. I need a place. Got to do it. Is that the number? Fine. I'll pay it. 10% over. And you look at the seller and going, I can prove it. And he's like, oh my God. This guy's a financial analyst selling a $1.9 million house. He's like, oh my God. Now, you think the agent coming in behind me is going to have these stats? So I would take some of these stats, and if you're going to a listing presentation, you can present some of these stats. I'm fine with it. Present some of these things. And go, let me just show you something. I mean, we're up 34% right now over 2020, and inflation's only gone up 24%. So we're definitely 10% higher than we should be. Now, I don't know when that's going to fall. We'll see. Here's another chart. Let's say you have a buyer. This is a powerful looking chart, too. A house in Vienna. Now these are similar size and similar age homes. In Vienna, sells for $1.37 million. In Haymarket, sells for $861,000. There's a $500,000 difference between going from Vienna to Haymarket. So if you're a buyer, you got to look at it and go, I know you need X amount of square footage. You need this, you need that, you need good schools, we need that. But if our budget, $1 million, we're looking over there, it's 1.3. We look over there, it's 861. How do you feel about commute? How are we doing? But this shows the current prices of a 3,000 square foot house built in 1990, what they sell for in all of these markets. So McLean, $1.7 million. Down in Leesburg, $1 million. $700,000 savings. Okay? If you go out to Sterling, it's $940,000. If you go from McLean to Sterling, the savings is $700,000. $800,000 in the value of the house. $800,000. Not bad, right? Now, let me tell you why this is important. Because if I'm selling a home in Sterling, guess who I'm marketing to? The people in McLean, Vienna, and every place where the same $900,000 home is selling for $1.3 or $1.4 million. You know, if you just come out here, now, this works. This really works. Because, I will put up what does it sell for in Arlington, Alexandria, and Washington, D.C. Same house, same size, same age. So I'll add that in here. But We market to those people when we're selling Vienna because a 1.337 in Vienna sells for 1.7 or 1.8 in Arlington. You get it? So I'm not marketing to people out west. I'm marketing to people in the east, to the employment centers, because that's where the money is. He's like, I've been looking at these houses at 1.6, and I can't even, I mean, they're no good. But you're at 133, and I got the 3,000 square foot, the 1990s, the good, you know, the nice environment, the good schools, all that stuff. I cannot tell you how many times we pulled buyers out of McLean to buy in Vienna. We had a $2.25 million one in Fairfax Station. Nobody's looking over $2 million Fairfax Station. Nobody. So we use geofencing, we use Google Ads, we target buyers. We're going after McLean and Arlington. So a guy calls us up and goes, where the heck is Fairfax Station? You know? Well, it's over there. Just 10 miles away. I'm looking at McLean. I can't find anything I want. Can you meet me at that house? He goes to the house. He likes it. He buys it. He pays all cash. $2.25 million. One buyer in McLean, looking at McLean. Didn't know where Fairfax Station was. That's the marketing of today. That's AI. That's AI used in the right way. In the correct way, you can target buyers that are looking in other markets and show them your properties on their Wall Street Journal feed, Washington Post, Google Ads, all that stuff. We can find them. That's the secret sauce. Secret sauce is first getting the listing, but the thing is pricing it and marketing it to the right peer group. But when you're dealing with a buyer, this puts in perspective, and a seller, this puts in perspective the difference between moving west and what the value is. So let's say you're in Oakton at 1.25, and if I just went 12 minutes down that Dulles or down the Route 66 toll road, I'm at 950. Save $300,000 or buy a bigger house with a bigger lot. Still great school, right? So this puts in perspective what the values are as you move west. Okay, it's a great example for the sellers, and it's a great example for the buyers. All right. Okay, this is basically the time capsule that you're going to see on our website, and this lays it all out. Let's go to Vienna, a 3,000 square foot house built in 1990. You'll see they're all pretty similar. 3.72 million. In 2020, it was $1,024,000. So in the 4 years you've been trying to figure out, should I buy or I didn't want to pay too much for that house, it's gone up $350,000, $360,000. Same house, right? If interest rates come down, is it still going to go like that? Is it still going to build up? Yeah, good. That's why when Sarah says, marry the house, date the rate. Get the house, lock in a price right now. And let's say the prices do go down. You're going to be here for 25 years. What do you care? They're going to go down. They're going to go up. They're going to go down. They're going to go up. But if they go up too much more, you can't afford it. You're not going to be able to afford it. So will rates come down? Yes, rates will come down. This year, who knows? Next year, who knows? They're going to come down. They have to, right? Eventually, back to 3.5% or 4.5%, 5%. So lock in a 7-year ARM right now at 6.375. Get it the house that you want, and then, you know, bite the bullet. Don't go out to dinner as much. And then when rates recede, then go ahead and refinance, and you're good to go. But most people waiting, and this shows the effect of, if you waited, a house in Reston cost $900,000. Today it's 1.1. In Centerville, like I said, 700,000, now it's 950. And again, that number's going up because I'm still taking bids. And that's a 3,000 square foot house that I'm bidding right now. And the top bids are in the 980s. And it probably might touch a million. So I guess, you know, what this is clarity and perspective of the real estate market. So a half hour ago, and I think Justin, is this, oh, Let me finish with this last one, and then we'll move on. My market's Vienna. and we do Haymarket, we do all that stuff, but I mean, you know, we do a lot of big stuff in the end. So I could sit down and this, I can tell you this document right here closed 1.9 million at least, and probably closed the other 1.8 that I was talking to because I used it for both of them. So what this shows is, this is a chart that shows resale homes at 2,500 square feet, 3,500 square feet, and 4,500 square feet. And it says that back in 2020, a 3,000 or 4,500 square foot house sold for $1.3 million. A problem with a pricing expert right now, not a lot of comp. Anybody go out and try and pry a house lately? Not a lot of comp. But if you use this, there's a lot of comp. If you use this document right here, there's a lot of comp. Let's say we take the neighborhood, like we did with his neighborhood, and said you had a neighbor, same size, same age, same assessment as you have, and in 2020, they sold for $1.313 million. This number right, or $1.316 million. I said, so this house sold for that number in your neighborhood. Look at the growth at 1.78. My estimate, my pricing model says about 1.8. This says 1782. So if it appreciated the same as all houses, I can take a 2020 home sale and compare it to your home today. And that's what freaked me out. I'm like, geez. I mean, I'm looking at the comps, but the best comp is the same house in his neighborhood. That's the best comp. Well, if you take that sale and you apply the 35% that everybody else appreciated during that time, to your house, it's 1782, or it validates the 1.8 that we estimate. See what I mean? You're coming at it from different directions. I keep telling everybody, grabbing, you know, so what do you think it's worth? I don't know. I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of data to crunch. I got to look at growth charts. I got to look at appreciation rates. I got to look at the comparables that are currently out there. I need price per square foot. I need percentage of assessment. I need to make sure the assessments are correct. Pricing is a profession. Pricing isn't a hobby. It's not a hobby. It's our life, right? So if you are a realtor, you need to price houses right, right? And if you are a seller, you are interviewing agents. And you need to say, what's the number and how did you arrive at it? Convince me that my house is worth 1.2 or 1.3. And if we come at it from this direction and this direction, and then come and validate it with that direction, I'm telling you, all three of my models are pointing in the same direction. Now, even at that, I said, we'll put it on at 1.8. But be ready. If it ain't there, if the market's not there during the predictive analysis during the coming soon period, we're moving back to 1.75. If we go to 1.75, we're probably going to get 1.85. Because every house sells at about 100,000 over. Once I find the buyer pool, I mean, Billy and I had a house. We thought it was just over $2 million. It comped out about $2,050,000 or $2.1 million. And we said, look, the buyer pool under $2 million is this big, over $2 million is this big. Let's just tuck it under $2 million and let them bid it up, right? It ended up, we haven't settled yet. All right, I'll say it anyway. It ended up at $2.277 million. $275,000 or whatever over list price. So find the right buyer pool, get that buyer pool doing the predictive analysis. And that's why I'm shaking my head going, I don't think anybody's listening. How are 40% or 65% of the homes not under contract? Are you doing predictive analysis? Are we at Sampson Properties? Are we doing a predictive analysis? Are we taking a number and testing it during coming soon and saying, do we have 12 people walking in this house on Friday morning? No. Drop the price. Billy and I had to get on the phone with a $2.5 million guy. Hey, man, we need to get 225. That's where the buyer pool is. If we want to sell it. So I'm just saying that pricing is an investigation. Pricing is authenticating from multiple directions. Don't just grab something out of the air. And if a seller ever goes, I'm not taking a dollar less than, you don't even have to tell me. Don't even get the words out of your mouth, because I'm closing my computer and I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm getting out. I had a guy at Tapawingo, said, your house worth 1.4. I'm not taking a dollar less. Doesn't matter what he said after that, but he said $2 million. $2 million. Closed my computer. I said, I got to go. Because there's reasonable people out there, and I'm not wasting time and energy and money on unreasonable people. That home is still sitting on the market today, and that was over a year ago. And we had a big Samson agent take it at 175 and another one. And now the Reynolds team is having it. Has had open houses every weekend for a year, for a gosh darn year. And it's still sitting there. And get this, it's now less than what I told him he could get. Is that funny? You've been sitting on there for a week. Now, the realtors, are the realtors wasting their time? Hell no. They need open houses for their agents. Their agents are looking for business. They hold it open Saturdays and Sundays. They love it. They couldn't care less. I care. I'm not doing that. We're not playing that game, are we, Billy? So what we're looking at with this chart, the effectiveness of this, and again, this will be on there too. You guys can download it. I'm going to produce charts like for Johnny. I'll do a, here's Dominion Valley and here's Piedmont. Compare the two of them. You know, that would be a good one to throw out to them. Then when you walk into a seller, they have confidence that you're not pulling a number out of your hat. You figured this out. You got it. And they will go with, you need two things in order to get a listing. They need to like you and they need to trust you. And if they know that you're put so much value on how you price things and how you market stuff, then you earn their confidence and you earn their trust. And that is Coffee with Casey for the first quarter of 2024. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be here next week, 10:30 on Facebook, or 11:30 whenever we get on Facebook. I don't know. Justin's going to tape it and then send it out. But thank you for listening. Real estate is not a hobby. Real estate is a profession. Today we talked about, you know, the commission stuff with NAR. We talked about some very important statistics that people need to know if they're going to buy or sell real estate in Northern Virginia. You can reach me at Casey@CaseySampson.com or 703-508-2535. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.